Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 31. This is another Psalm of David. We have that in the title. It's to the chief musician. It was a psalm that was to be sung. In this psalm, we find that David shares how God is his rock. Someone has said that adversity does not make us frail. It only shows us how frail we are. In every human weakness, we have an opportunity to trust God's strength alone. Each time we're made aware of our weaknesses as believers, it should always be a time to lead us to cast ourselves on God's mercy and His omnipotence. We find that in this psalm. So let's look at it. We'll read through it. Then we will look at the outline. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to them, and a fear to my acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strike of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plenteously rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now, there's several verses here that are very prominent that we know when we read them. As we've heard them before, we've probably even used them. We're looking at this psalm from a perspective of David in hard times and how he handled those hard times. First of all, we see point one, David's plea, verses 1-5. First, we find in verse 1 and 2, his plea is to God, deliver me. He uses the word trust. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. The word means to make my refuge. So in all the things that he could do and all the places he could go, he chose to make God the place where he would hide. That's good advice. He says, I was ashamed, or I was confounded and confused. And then he says in verse 1 and 2, deliver or carry me away safely. In verse 1, the last part of the verse, deliver me in thy righteous. Carry me away safely. In verse 2, bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. The second idea of deliverance is snatch me away quickly. So he's asking God to carry him away safely, and if need be, to snatch him out of a mess. Sometimes we may end up finding ourselves doing that. We're in a dilemma, in a conflict, in a challenge, whatever it may be, that came unexpectedly. We weren't anticipating it. We can cry out to God, Lord, snatch me out of this mess. Lord, deliver me. So we find his plea, deliver me. Secondly, his plea is direct me. Direct me, O God. He said, thou art my rock and fortress, or God is the rock wall between him and his enemies. And then he says, lead and guide me, or keep me in the correct path and provide for me in that path. I want you, Lord, to lead me. I want to be in the path that you want me to be. And while I'm walking in the path that you have me in, I'm trusting in you to take care of my needs. Matthew 6:33, seek ye the Lord. And when we seek him first, the kingdom of God, all things that we need, God will supply. That entire chapter, for the most part, in Matthew 6, talks about God providing the needs that we have. And this is what the principle is that David's talking about here. So we see he says, Lord, I want you to deliver me, snatch me away, deliver me, protect me, guide me, defend me. Point C, deliver me, direct me, defend me. Move me out of the entrapment of my enemies. 2, as you are my strength, I trust you with my eternal soul. Verse 4, the last part of the verse. For thou art my strength, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. And the phrase, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Very familiar passage from the New Testament. And when the Lord's speaking there. But we find here David is asking God for deliverance, for direction, for defense. Now I missed point 4 of under 8. Let's go back there. In verse 2 he says, bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily, be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. He's asking God to be that rock cave in which he can hide. In verse 3, he's asking God to be that rock wall. So he's talking in two ideas here. First of all, he's wanting God to be a place where he can live, a place where he can find refuge. And then he's wanting God to be a place where he can have a barrier between him and his enemies. So he asks the Lord to be his rock of defense for a home and for a dwelling of protection. Then we see David's plea. Second, we see David's passion. In verse 6a, I have hated them that regard lying vanities. His passion is, first of all, he rejects the godless. I have hatred. Now, the idea here of hatred is not so much of hating the person as it is hating what they do. We are called to hate the sin of people. We are never given permission to hate the person. If that were the case, you and I would be in hell. But God loved us even though we were sinners. Yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't condone the sin. He hated the sin. He bore the sin. But he loved the sinner. And here, if we keep in light of what the scripture teaches about this concept, then we must believe that David had a hatred for the sin of the people, and he regarded them as an enemy, not someone that he wanted necessarily to slit their throat with that kind of hatred. But he wasn't naive either. David was a king. He had made a lot of enemies long before he ever became a king. And so he had street smarts, we would call it. He knew that there were certain folks that he just didn't trust. And the reason he didn't like them and he hated them, secondly, was because of their lying vanities. or the things that they had placed value on that in reality were worthless eternally. David, as we look at this, a man who's seeking after God, places eternal value on things. He looks at things from an eternal perspective. And he sees these people that are lying to gain things, and they stand against what David stands for. So they're not his friends. And so we see his passion is to do what's right and take a stand against those who are godless. He rejects the godless. And secondly, point B, he rejoices in the Lord. He rejoices in God. He says in verse 6, "But I trust in the Lord." Verse 7, "I'll be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities." He rejects the godless and he rejoices in God. We see that God sees, therefore David had hope in his troubles. And secondly, God saves, therefore David will live expectantly for God's deliverance. Verse 8, "And hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy, thou hast set my feet in a large room." He says in verse 7, "I rejoice and am glad in your mercy. You consider my trouble. You know my position with my adversaries, and I believe that you are going to save me." So David rejects the godless. He rejoices in God, his passion. Third, we see David's pain, verses 9 through verse 13. In verse 9 and 10, he's suffering sorrow. Verse 9, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed." He's suffering sorrow. First of all, his difficulty is causing him great sorrow physically and emotionally, and he describes that in verse 9. Secondly, David reflects on the toll and the suffering that sin has taken on his own life. So he's suffering sorrow, and B, his pain is that he's suffering scorn. Verse 11 and 12. Now, verse 10 talks about his iniquity. Verse 11, he says, "I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me." As we think about David's life as king, this is a real reflection and things that took place when he was fleeing from Absalom, his own son. Maybe part of the iniquity that he is looking back on in verse 10 has to do with the way he raised his son. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But in verse 11, he talks about how people look at him. This is the king here. This is not some beggar standing on the street with a can asking for a handout. This is King David. But now we find him describing himself in light of those around him, especially among his neighbors. He's a reproach among his enemies and among his neighbors, a fear to my acquaintances. And we go back and read in the account of David's life when he's fleeing from Absalom, all these things took place. He was alone, and people rejected him. People turned on him. People that he trusted, people that he had confidence were there for him to help him in his reign. They turned on him. I don't know. It could be that his difficulty could be because of a time when he fled from Absalom. Point two, whenever this occurred, whatever it may be, David expresses vividly how he felt emotionally. We see, first of all, point A, he says, "I am a reproach," in verse 11, or "I am a shame and disgrace in the eyes of those that he had ruled over." B, people who had been his friends now rejected him. Verse 11. C, people put him out of their minds and they treated him as a dead person in verse 12. "I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind." And D, he was an emotional wreck. "I am like a broken vessel. All of this weighs on me. And I'm supposed to be a strong man ruling and reigning, but I'm just broken. I'm just absolutely broken. I'm an emotional wreck." So we see here David suffering scorn and the ways that it impacted him. We see also point C that David is suffering slander. Verse 13. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. So his pain is very serious. Physically, emotionally, relationally, David is just a mess. But yet he has had his hope in God. He has asked God to deliver him. He has taken a stand against those who choose to do wrong. He has hated their sin, and he's rejoiced in the Lord. But it still doesn't take away hard times in life. Then we see point four, David's petition. First of all, he prayed for victory, verse 14 through 16. But I trust in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thine hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. He says, God, I'm asking you to save me. Despite how he was to feel by his past failures and the treatment of others, David still trusted in the Lord. That's quite a statement there. We can respond to what people say about us. And when we hear criticism, we ought to take it into account. Never brush it off. Oh, they don't know what they're talking about. Think about it. Give some counsel to it. Look at what they're saying about you in light of what you're actually doing in obeying God's word. If you find that people choose to criticize you because you're walking in obedience to the word of God, brush it off. Because they place their value in the things that David saw other people doing in verse 6. And he didn't desire for that. He didn't want any part of that. But if what they say about us is true and we are not walking in light of God's word, then we need to change. We need to be in conformity to the word of God. David here realizes there's some issues with iniquity. He mentions that. He talks about that. He talks about the challenges that he's facing. Whether the heartache and the suffering he's having is because of his own sinfulness or the result of his lack of doing what's right, I don't know. It's an indirect consequence of his iniquity, he says so. But it doesn't cause him to give up hope in his God. It doesn't cause him to throw in the towel and quit serving the Lord. I talked with someone just this past week, and that's where they are. The circumstances of life has just brought them to a place, you know, what's the use? That's a terrible place to be. God wants to use us in spite of who we are. In spite of what we may do, he wants us to live for him and be what he would have us to be. And so David here, in spite of the iniquity issue, in spite of the emotional drain, in spite of the fact that he's an emotional wreck, he still comes back to, I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm asking God to deliver me. Verse 14. But I trust in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. So we find he says, God, save me. Despite how he has been made to feel by his past failures and treatment of others, he still trusts in the Lord. And secondly, point B, David still recognized the sovereignty of and omnipotence of God. This is something we've got to remember. My times, verse 15, are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. I know I'm going through this. I know this is part of your plan. Even before Romans 8, 28 and 29 came into existence, David is practicing the principle. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did call, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the first fruit among many brethren. So David is practicing the principle. So he asks God to deliver him. He reminds himself as he tells God, I'm still trusting in you in spite of the fact that I failed you in the past. And I'm recognizing that you're in charge here. So I'm crying out to ask you to save me. And he's also asking God, point two, to shine on him. Look at what he says here in verse number 16. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. So David prays for brighter days. Lord, I could use some sun-filled days, S-O-N-filled days. I find great comfort in this, that a man who has sought to live for the Lord, yet has failed the Lord, can still go back to the Lord, acknowledge his iniquity, asking God to help him, to deliver him, and to shine on him. Bless me, Lord. But no, what do? We sin against God. We ask his forgiveness, but we wouldn't dare ask God to bless us. I don't deserve it. Really? Where do you find that in the scripture? Well, I failed God so miserably. Okay, so you have. Is that how you treat your children at home? They disobey, you correct them, and then you don't feed them for a week? Well, you failed me on Monday, so you won't eat till next Sunday. Is that how we treat them? No. When the mealtime comes, we tell, come on, eat. Oh, I'm not hungry. I've just done so much. Oh, come on. Come on. We need you. Get here to the table. I fix food for you. Well, our Heavenly Father treats us the same way. And David says, God, shine on me. Give me a brighter day. So he prays for victory. And then because of things that are not all his fault, point B, he prays for vindication. Verse 17, the first part of the verse, let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. So first of all, he says, God, I'm asking you to shame my enemies. Don't let me be ashamed. Let my enemies be ashamed. The last part of verse 17. So he says, Lord, shame my enemies and silence my enemies. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. So it's not just David here that under attack. There are other righteous people that are being impacted by the unrighteousness of other people. Fifthly, we see David's praise. He gets through all this. He gets through sharing with God about his emotional breakdown and his need of help and strength. And then he says, I'm trusting in you, Lord. I'm praying for victory. I'm praying you'll silence my enemies. And so he turns believing and trusting in the omnipotence and sovereignty of God. He goes into praise mode. So we see five, David's praise, verse 19 through 22. First of all, in verse 19, he says, God's good. Oh, how great is thy goodness. God is good. Verse 20, he says, God is guardian. God is guardian over his own. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. And third, he says, God is gracious. God is gracious in verse 21 and 22. Blessed be the Lord. He had showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou hast heard the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. So his praise, God is good, God is guarding me, and God is gracious. And then sixthly, we see David's proclamation. What does he say? Verse 23, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. So the first thing he says is, hey, folks, you need to love God. Who is it to? The redeemed ones. Those who have been redeemed are the only ones who can truly love God. And secondly, God's mercy and grace should always provoke us to love him. Verse 23, oh, love the Lord, ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plenteously rewardeth the proud doers. As I think about what God has done for me, it just causes me to want to love him more. So love the Lord, and secondly, look to the Lord. In verse 24, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Looking to God produces encouragement. Secondly, it produces necessary strength to do what is right and to continue on in life. He shall strengthen your heart. And three, look to the Lord because the redeemed hope in God alone. So David begins this psalm by saying, Lord, I'm trusting in you, but there's some hard things going on in my life. And I feel like a failure. And I look at what my sin has caused and brought into my life, and it's just hard for me to handle. And then I've got these people out here that are on my back, saying lying things about me, trying to hurt me, trying to cause problems in my life. But God, I'm just asking you to take care of me and take care of them. And Lord, I'm just going to close this whole thing out by saying, you're a good God, and I trust in you, and I'm going to encourage other people to do the same. Thank you, Lord, for this psalm and the role model that we have in David here. We thank you, Father, that in Scripture we learn quickly that you use imperfect people. What an encouragement that is to my heart, because I surely know how imperfect I am. And even though I think I know, you know me even better. And if I knew myself as you know me, I would truly be ashamed. But in spite of my failures and my weaknesses, you still love me and you still want to use me and you still give me opportunities to serve. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that I can have you as the wall between me and the attack of others. Thank you that I can have you as the rock home in which I can run and hide and live and be absolutely protected from anything that anybody can try to bring upon me to destroy me. I thank you that you provide all of that in spite of our failures. I thank you that we can trust in you, that your time is always perfect and our time is in your hands. And I thank you, Lord, that we can rest in you. We can be of good courage. And when we are, when we're trusting you, you indeed will strengthen our heart. Help us all to hope in the Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.